Pooja, please.
Thanks, Roland. So on this multi-stakeholder panel, it seems that we all agree that the UPR is one of the Council's key innovations. It's universal in terms of participation and in terms of the scope of the review. For the first two cycles, the value of the UPR from a civil society perspective has been in the opportunity to amplify civil society's ongoing national advocacy efforts, as well as to engage and interact with government representatives and to organize and mobilize at the national level, creating very strong, broad-based civil society coalitions in so many countries, which have solidified national human rights movements. It must be said that the UPR is essentially seen by civil society as a national process, rather than a foreign policy exercise, where the attendance in Geneva is not essential and ECOSOC accreditation is not required. It is, in that sense, democratic. But as we enter the third cycle, the true test of UPR's effectiveness will be in addressing the following weaknesses. Firstly, the lack of a follow-up mechanism and infrastructure nationally, which has contributed to patchy implementation. Secondly, procedural weaknesses, including no accountability mechanisms for the non-cooperation of states. And thirdly, the lack of protection for human rights defenders from reprisals. For the purpose of this discussion today, I will draw mostly from a paper that the International Service for Human Rights has developed on strengthening the UPR into the third cycle, as well as highlighting views from civil society on the ground. Many of those stories are actually already captured in this really great report by UPR Info. Thank you for working on this. And I encourage you to read it.